Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. As I read about the Canaanite woman in our text, events in the life of one of my nieces came to mind. Wendy was a mother of three children. The oldest, JT, graduated from Concordia University, Nebraska. The middle one, a daughter, Lexi, graduated from nursing college just a year ago. But it's her relationship with her youngest, Carson, that brought Wendy to mind as I read this gospel lesson. I'm going to use an illustration to show you what I'm talking about. Martha, would you come out and stand by me for just a minute? How old are you now? 8 already. Well, Carson was a little bit about your size when he was 5 years old, and he got a tumor in his stomach that came out 2 pounds. Let's put that right on your tummy. Can you imagine the intricate surgery that came from getting something approximately this size out of little Carson's tummy? A 2 pound tumor. My sister said it was held in 2 hands when the doctor got it out of his stomach. Carson's early on odds were 10% survival. Many people held up little Carson in prayer and asked God to have mercy and to heal him. We were always sure of Carson's eternity. He had grown up knowing every Sunday church and Sunday school. He had attended Lutheran preschool and was enrolled in Lutheran kindergarten. He knew songs like Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. We were certain of Carson's eternity, but we were pretty frightened about his here and now. As I mentioned, his mother is my niece, Wendy. Wendy also grew up in the church. She grew up with a mother having graduated from St. John's College, Lutheran College in Winfield. She had a grandfather and an uncle who were pastors, an aunt and an uncle who were Lutheran school teachers. She grew up going to Sunday school and church and was in Lutheran elementary school and Lutheran youth group and was an active church member. Wendy, too, was confident of Carson's eternity, but again, she was concerned. And she fought tooth and nail about the here and now. Wendy was almost desperate to do what she could for Carson. He spent many months in the hospital. He lost most of his teeth, lost some of his hearing, had chemotherapy and many other treatments. And Wendy insisted for being there for all of it. She had a sister that was a nurse, another sister and her mother, my sister, who wanted to help. They wanted to alleviate the load a little bit. They wanted to spell her at the hospital, but Wendy could hardly tear herself away for very long at a time. She felt she was a mother and she ought to be there. Those of you who are mothers and grandmothers know what she was going through. You're the mom. You're supposed to guard and protect and nurture, and so you do so with fierce determination. That's why I think you probably understand better than us men the Canaanite woman in our text. She's desperate for her daughter. Her daughter is ill. She's demon possessed. We don't know what form this demon possession took, but from other readings in the Bible, we know it's never good when a demon possesses you. Some would throw themselves into fires. Others lived almost like wild animals. This woman, a Gentile, comes begging to Jesus to heal her daughter. The woman begs, but Jesus doesn't answer right away. He remains silent, and she keeps calling out after him, and the disciples say, she's being a nuisance, send her away. But she comes and kneels down and says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There's another Bible story where Peter was walking on the water, and he started to sink, and we hear him call out, Lord, save me. But Peter had a reason to make a claim on Jesus, didn't he? He was a disciple. He was a follower. He was a Jew. He knew and loved Jesus. He was known and loved by Jesus. This woman is a Gentile. When I was writing this, I almost put down a non-believer, but that's not really true, is it? It's obviously not true because she comes to Jesus asking for a miracle, begging and pleading, kneeling before him humbly. It seems to indicate she did believe in his power. Did she know and understand all that Jesus taught? Did she know the ramifications of him being the Jewish Messiah? I doubt it. But she certainly seemed to believe that he was more than just another prophet and that he had the power to heal. So she cries out, "Lord, help me." And Jesus gives her what I think is kind of a strange answer. "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The word here for dogs means like pet dogs, maybe even puppies in the original language, but that only softens it a little bit, doesn't it? What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, "I came first for the children of Israel." In St. Mark's account, the wording is, "First let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Again, the implication is the word of God was first to go to the Gentiles, and then it was to be shared with the Gentiles. But the woman doesn't get offended. She doesn't bristle. She seems to understand that, yes, the Jews have first claim on you, on your love, on your forgiveness, but she presses her claim and says, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She seemed to be saying, "Lord, I don't need a lot. Lord, I don't want anything that belongs to someone else. Lord, just give me the crumbs. Give me the leftover of your love and forgiveness and help. Lord, heal my daughter." And Jesus is moved by the words of the woman and he says, "O woman, great is your faith." This Gentile, this new to the teachings of Jesus, this non-Jew, expresses great faith in Jesus. She believes he can heal her daughter. And Jesus rewards her great faith by these words, "Be it done to you as you desire." He grants her request. He heals her daughter. And almost as an afterthought are these powerful words, "And her daughter was healed instantly." Not as soon as I can follow you home and see her. Not as soon as I can pray over her and touch her. No, her daughter was healed instantly simply because Jesus said so. What an awesome, powerful we God that can do what he wants immediately in our lives as well. We note well here that it was faith that led to this miracle. The faith of the mother in Jesus led her to plead for her daughter and to get Jesus to heal her. Faith was the key. We talk about faith a lot. What is faith? It's believing what we sometimes cannot prove. It's confidence in what seems impossible to many people. Faith is believing that no matter what happens, God is in control. And he loves us and forgives us and promises us eternal life. Now let me ask what I think is an important question. How desperate are you for your loved ones? I know you're concerned when they're ill. I know you're concerned about their jobs and careers. I know you want them to be healthy and happy. I know we have all shared hurt and desperation when our loved ones have been ill or faced earthly problems. But that's not my question when I ask, how desperate are you for those you love? There's a Bible passage that says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" Now, if you don't know anyone who's in danger of this Bible passage, you are truly blessed. I am not so blessed. There are people that I know and love for whom I have concern for their eternal souls. They seem to be gaining the world, but I'm not so sure about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I have to ask myself, how desperate am I to find somehow, some way to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them? Find some way to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to touch their hearts and minds and call them to stronger faith, or maybe even to faith for the first time. What will I do to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity? What will I risk? How desperate am I for them to know the great good news? If you're like me, you know a lot of people who probably think, well, I'm in pretty good shape. Feel that, well, deep inside at least, they're Christians. But what does Scripture say? By your fruits, you will know them. Let me use the illustration of someone saying that they're a fisherman. Someone says they're a fisherman, but when we begin to question them about fishing, we start to wonder. We ask, well, what kind of rod and reel do you have? Well, it's out in the garage somewhere. I don't remember what it is. Well, where do you fish? Well, I go to the lake sometimes, but haven't been there for a while. Well, how often do you go fishing? Well, it's kind of been hit or miss to actually go, but I think about it from time to time. Would you begin to doubt just how much of a fisherman that person were? On the spiritual side, we might ask somebody, which version of the Bible do you read? And the answer would be, well, I have several, but I'm not really reading any of them right now. Well, where do you go to church? Well, when I do go, I go back to my old church, but you know, I can worship wherever I'm at on a Sunday. How's your prayer life? Well, I certainly ask God for the things I need. How much time do you put into living your Christianity, putting into action with service or Bible study or helping others? Well, there's nothing all that regular in my life right now, but I go out of my way to help someone once in a while. There's an old question that goes this way. If you were put on trial for your faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Let me repeat that. If you were put on trial for your faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I'm afraid some of our family and friends would get off scot-free. There would not be enough evidence to convict them of being a Christian. So I repeat, how desperate are we to bring them to Jesus Christ? Let's go back to the woman for a moment. Her simple yet profound faith and belief in Jesus Christ brought a miracle to her daughter. I'm pretty sure she was not the strongest Christian in town. I doubt she knew the Old Testament inside and out. I don't even know if she was good and kind beyond loving her daughter. But I do know she saw and recognized that Jesus was special, that he was not just another prophet. And she thought that a miracle could touch their lives. I'm sure she rejoiced when her daughter was healed and was brought back to her, restored to her, and given a future. What do you think she said or did when she got home to see her daughter? I suspect, obviously, she hugged or kissed her. But then I suspect those who were with that daughter while she was off talking to Jesus said, what happened? Did you know your daughter was healed? You did. Well, what happened? And she must have told them about meeting Jesus and how she begged him to heal the daughter and he had said she could be healed. I suspect she was a witness for months and months, if not years and years in the rest of her life. Again, a non-Jew, a Gentile, not well versed in the Bible, probably not a great speaker, not a person of influence, but she had an effective witness because she simply told what she knew and what she had experienced with Jesus Christ. It's the Lenten season, and we remind ourselves that we are sometimes weak and sinful, that sometimes we drift a little bit in our faith, but we also repent of our sin and know that we're loved and forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I rejoice that we are here tonight because you and I are children of God. He knows us. He loves us. He forgives us. He promises us eternal life. We're assured of living with God forever. His death on the cross and his resurrection guarantee it. And God will use our simple witness, not a profound statement, not a great sermon, but simply telling others what we know and what we have experienced through our faith in Jesus Christ. I rejoice that my nephew Carson is cancer-free for many years now. He's enjoying high school, being on the golf team. I'm grateful that God heard and answered the prayers of faithful people, especially his almost desperate mother. Let us be desperate to keep our own faith strong. And let us be desperate for those we know and love who do not yet know the peace and the joy and the comfort that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. And he is the way to eternal life, the way to love and forgiveness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.